Madam Chairman, please be seated. Good morning, how are you doing? It's wonderful to see you here, and it's a great thrill to be here at Stanford. Always love coming to Stanford. My wife doesn't travel with me very much when I travel and reach places, but when she heard we were coming to Stanford, I was coming to Stanford, she says, well, I'm coming too. And we came a day early, so we went to Sunday around town yesterday and that sort of thing. So we always love coming out here, it's really awesome. I was trying to think about how many times I've preached at this church, and I figured out, I think this is my 10th time. So Pastor Jeremy said he's going to keep inviting me back until I get it right. So it's been wonderful. Pastor Jeremy and me have been here, it's coming up to 11 years, which is just amazing. And to see all that God is doing here in this wonderful church is just incredible. And I'm really looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you today. And I just want to share something that maybe you've heard before. The passage of Scripture I'm going to read is one that was really well known, especially about 20 years ago. People used to talk about this passage of Scripture all the time, and so I thought I'd go back and time capsule today and read to you this passage of Scripture. So I want to start from 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And also too, I want to bring greetings to you from King's Church, your holiday church on the Gold Coast. So if you're ever on holidays down the Gold Coast, feel free to come to King's Church and check it out. I'm sure you'll love it. 1 Chronicles 4, 8 to 11 says this, and Koz begot Anaba, Zobabah, and the families of Ahael, the son of Aram. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Verse 11, Chilab, the brother of Shuhah, begot Mehir, who was the father of Eshnol. The title of my message today is, there's no harm in asking. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask and pray that for us today, you will lift everybody's eyes and everyone's faith and hope for the great things that you have in store for them. I thank you and I praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, many years ago, I used to try and read the Bible through every year. And so in order to do that, you would have to read four chapters at a time, at least 4 to 6 chapters to get through it in a year. And so very often when I would do that, there'd be parts of Scripture that you want to just jump over because you feel like, man, I've just got to get through these 4 to 6 chapters today. And some passages of Scripture you just want to jump through because it feels like it's not saying anything. One of those passages of Scripture is those areas in the Bible known as the genealogies. The genealogies of those passages of Scripture were just names and lists, these names of people, such and such, begat, 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 and it can go on for ages. One area of the Bible where it does that a lot is actually 1 Chronicles. And so you get to 1 Chronicles, and the first few chapters you feel like jumping through because it just says this, begat, 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 just names and lists all these people's names. But if you do that, and if you skip over 1 Chronicles chapter 4, then you'll actually miss out one of the great gems of Scripture. And that is in verse 9 and 10, and it's known as the prayer of Jabez. And so this prayer must have been very significant because it interrupts the genealogies. I mean, Jabez isn't even listed in the genealogical line. It's like he interrupts the genealogies. It's kind of like an emergency station break in the middle, and all of a sudden he just says this prayer. Bible says God granted what he requested, and then he went on about his business and kept going through the genealogies. So I find it very interesting that God would interrupt the genealogies with this prayer. You know what it tells me? It tells me that clearly this prayer was important. It's obviously not the only prayer that has ever been prayed by any of these people, but it was so important that God wanted it listed, and not only that, God granted what he requested. So it's important, and it's actually the will of God. Have you ever wondered, if what I'm praying is actually God's will? Can I encourage you? The prayer of Jabez clearly is God's will. Because it was so important, it interrupted the genealogies, and not only that, God granted what he requested. And so he asked for some stupendous things in this passage of Scripture. He asked for some things that maybe some of us would be too timid to ask. But basically, he asked these things, God granted what he requested, and so for every single one of us, we can actually believe for all of these things to come to pass in our life as well. And so I want to talk to you today about a few things that you can ask for based on the prayer of Jabez. The first thing that he asks is this. It says in verse 10. It says that God, and Jabez called the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed. That you would bless me indeed." First thing you can ask God for is blessing. Now, I know we're supposed to ask God to bless other people. And he's supposed to bless the missionaries. And supposed to bless the poor. But Jabez didn't ask for that. Jabez asked for God to bless him. How he did it comes across as almost selfish. Is that possible? Is that really God's will? Well, clearly it was, because God granted what he requested. Many years ago when I was a youth pastor, I went through the prayer of Jabez with some of the kids in the youth group, and we said, well, I'm going to pray for this line by line. And I said, the first thing we're going to ask is for God to bless us. And one of the girls comes up to me, she says, I can't say that. I feel bad about actually saying that. But you know what? The scripture tells us here, it's okay for us to ask God to bless you. The Bible says in Galatians that the blessing of Abraham has come upon the Gentiles in faith. We are carriers of the blessing of God. You can believe for God's blessing. One of the ways that manifests is actually in God's provision. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 12, it talks about Abraham, and God said, I'm going to bless you. And as a result of that, he actually became exceedingly prosperous. God provided for him as a result of the blessing of God. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the blessing of the Lord attracts wealth, and he adds no sorrow to it. Doesn't say the blessing of the world, doesn't say the blessing of the devil, says the blessing of the Lord. So what that means is this, you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in society, no matter about the economic climate, God can still provide and bless you. Why? Because you are a carrier of the blessing of God. Your employer is not your source. The economy is not your source. Your God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides, is your source. And there are times that when actually you come to a position of lack and you don't know where it's coming from, can I tell you, you can still believe for the blessing of God to be manifested in your life. I love the story, well, I don't love the story, but it's an interesting story about Abraham when he goes to sacrifice his son Isaac to the Lord. And God is testing him to see whether he would be fully obedient to him. And just before sacrificing his son Isaac, God told him to stop. And he said, now I know you won't withhold anything from me. He declared another blessing on him. But they'd already prepared an altar, a place to actually have the sacrifice. And then all of a sudden they heard, off to the side, a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And basically that was held, that was back there, and they used that to sacrifice to the Lord. And that's where we get the phrase Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and provides. It comes from that passage of scripture. But interestingly enough, God had provision for him tied up, but he couldn't see it. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not coming. Why? Because we're carriers of the blessing of God. And you can believe for God's blessing and provision. Many years ago, I had a great big bill come in. It was for $4,500. And I could not, I had no clue how I could possibly pay it. There's just no way I could pay it. And it was, I got it about 6 weeks before it was due. I couldn't pay it. The week it was due, I still didn't have any money to pay that bill. And I was praying, I was saying, Lord, you know, pray for your provision, I pray that you provide me. I could not see how I could actually pay for that. Then 2 nights before it was due, at 7 o'clock at night, we had a knock on the door. I went and answered it, and it was a guy named Bruce. He's a Christian guy who lived down the street, but he'd never been to our house before. He's standing on our front porch. And I said, oh, g'day, Bruce, what are you up to? And Bruce is a kind of a bit of an awkward guy, so he's looking at me, and then he just walks in. I said, well, come on in. And he comes in. And I said, and we're standing in the lounge room. I said, come into the dining room. He comes in the dining room, we sit down, and I'm sitting there thinking, why is Bruce here? And Bruce said, I was praying about it, and I felt the Lord told me that you have a need. And so I'm gonna send you, I felt the Lord told me I'm gonna give you some money. So what's your bank account details? And because I was an itinerant minister, I said straight away, 01467. I mean straight away. And so he's sitting there on his phone and he says, I'm going to send it to you now, you'll see you in the morning. And he's taking a while, he's going, oh, it won't let me send it all at once. So I'm like, oh, praise God. And and after a while, he sent it through and said, listen, we'll just send it through, we'll see you in the morning. Woke up the next morning at 5 a.m., opened up my app, and in my bank account, It's $5,000. The $4,500 I needed for my bill and my $500 tithe. Amen? Praise the Lord. Just because I couldn't see it doesn't mean it's not coming. You can believe for the blessing of God, and that entails His provision. Don't listen to what society says about interest rates. Don't listen to what the world and the negative doomsayers say about the world. You are a carrier of the blessing of God, and you can believe for God's blessing and provision no matter where you are. The second thing that you can ask for is this. He says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory." How cheap. Seriously, you already asked for one thing, mate. Why would you ask for another? It's like one of my kids. You know, what I do with my kids is when they ask for something, I always say no. And the reason is not because what they're asking for is bad, but I know if I give in to this, then they're going to ask for the next thing. And so I say no the first one. It's a little bit like this. He says, "Lord, I pray that you bless me indeed and enlarge my territory." How cheeky. How rude. But clearly God doesn't mind. Because he put it there in that prayer and then he gave him what he requested. You know the second thing you can believe for? Is increase. Increase. He doesn't say, "God, give me one piece of territory." Clearly he's already got some. He's just saying, "Lord, enlarge my territory." I reckon you need to enlarge some territory here. You've already got some territory, but you're full. Yeah. You need to make some more room for what God wants to do in your life, amen. This place is already a miracle. This place is already a blessing. A lot of country churches would love a property like this, but there's no harm in asking. For increase, amen. You can believe for increase. You can have aspirations in your life. You can have some things in your world, and all of a sudden, God starts giving you some dreams and visions for an even better future. When you're a Pentecostal person, God gives you dreams and visions. He's called us to move forward, and He's called us to advance. I love the book of Ephesians, and Ephesians is written in the style of a Roman call to arms letter. So what that means is that at the end, it basically has, "Finally, my brethren, with strong Lord power, his might, put on the full armor of God, so that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The whole thing is preparation and a picture of God's church and his people advancing. God has called us to advance. He hasn't just called us to sit and to occupy and to wait until he comes. He's called us to increase and he's called us to advance. And there are times he can give you some dreams and aspirations for things better in your future. And a religious spirit might tell you that you have been too aspirational. Can I tell you, according to the scripture, there's no harm in asking. One of the things I believe for in my life is that whenever God gives me something to believe for some increase, not to compare it to somebody else, so I'm not comparing with anyone else, but I believe that when God gives us something, whatever it is, whether it be a ministry or whatever it is, God calls us to increase it and take it a little bit further. The classic story of this is the parable about the talents, or the parable of the coins. There's two kind of stories about this that Jesus actually said. And in one of them, it says that he actually had one guy had five talents, another one had two, and another one had one. And then the Lord said to him, "Put this money to work." And the man who had five went, and he got five more. And he came back to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And the other man who had two came back, and he had two more. And notice this, the master didn't compare him to the guy with five. He didn't say to him, "Hey, how come this guy's got five, why haven't you got five?" He says, no, "Well done, you've taken what I've given you and increased it. Well done, good and faithful servant." And then we come to the guy who had one. Poor little fella, didn't have as much as the others. What was he going to do just with one? God gave the other guy four, and the other guy two. And so what did he do? He buried it. And then he came back to the master, and he said to him, "Hey master, you only gave me one, but at least I didn't lose it." Yeah. I would have thought the master would have said, "Oh, that's okay, little fella, don't worry about it. The other guy got five. He more than made up for your one." But he didn't do that. He said, "You wicked and lazy servant." He said, "You should have at least put in the bank to get some interest." What was he saying? He was not saying, "I'm comparing you to anyone else." It's the principle of when God gives you something, He believes for us to advance and increase. I believe even in the life of this church, there's no harm in asking to believe for advancing, to believe for an increasing, to believe for an extension. Because when God calls us to steward something, He doesn't call us just to keep it and not lose it. He calls us to advance. I want to set free some people this morning, because there's some people here, you've got dreams and aspirations, and people tell you to dull it down. I want to let you know, I reckon that's from the Lord. Because if you have a desire to move forward, we can't please God without faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you're not hoping for anything, you can't live by faith, and you can't please God. There's nothing wrong with having some hope and aspiration, my friends. Even this cheeky man named Jabez blessed me indeed and enlarged my territory. And God granted what he requested. The third thing that you can ask for is this. Since Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me. That your hand, Lord, would be with me. But the scripture talks about the hand of the Lord. Depending on what it says, it means different things. So when the Bible says the hand of the Lord comes upon someone, talks about them coming upon them in power, they start moving in the supernatural. When the hand of the Lord is against you, it means God is resisting you. Or when he's asking for his hand to be with him, he's asking for God's divine favor. So the third thing you can believe for is favor. Favor in the things that God calls you to do. Believing for his favor to actually be upon your life. There's nothing that can stand against the hand of the Lord. If you've got God's favor, there's nothing that can stop you. And when the hand of the Lord is with you, you'll be amazed at the doors that God opens. I believe God has a slipstream of favor for every single person. There's areas of your life that God has given unique favor and opportunities that are not available to other people. I believe that for every single one of us, God has a slipstream of favor on our life. Now, the thing about favor is this. I love what T.D. Jack says about this. He says, now, favor ain't fair. So what that means is this, when God gives you favor, it means that other people might think it's not fair. But I want to let you know that when his hand is with you, you'll be amazed at the doors that open. The church I lead is called King's Church, and as Pastor Jeremy mentioned, one of the things that we have, it's one of the major things we do, is we have Christian schools. We actually have three Christian schools. And so it's kind of like the area of our ministry that the hand of God is really upon. We've got like 5,000 students in those schools and that sort of thing. And one of the things that we do is we start new schools. So we're looking right now, we've got a block of land, we're going to start another school in another part of Queensland. And it's just an area of favour on our church's life. Now, we started a church and a school in a suburb called Logan Village, which is in the city of Logan. And so we were there, and just before that happened, you've got to get council approvals and that sort of thing. And you really need the favor of God sometimes to get through these councils. And so I remember one time we want to do these building projects. We're going to do a building project for Reedy Creek location, Pimpamale location, and also the Logan location. And so we actually went to a group called the Block Grant Authority. Now, the Block Grant Authority is the people that give you money from the government to go towards your buildings. So they have a lot of power. And so when we sent an application, they responded. They said, look, we'll give you money for Logan, we'll give you money for Pimpamale, but we're not going to give you money for buildings at Reedy Creek because you don't need it. And so that was quite a shortfall of money. And so our principal and chairman of the board decided to do something that very few people do. They drove to Brisbane to have a showdown with the Block Grant Authority. And they had a meeting with them, and they said, you don't understand, this is our model. The reason we're able to do these other schools, which is better for the community, is because we have funding for the foundation school as well. And the Block Grant Authority did something that no one else has ever remembered them doing before. They backflipped. And they gave us an extra $500,000. Amen? Praise the Lord. Not only that, when they started Logan Village, they went to the council. And they said to the council, talking about going to Logan Village, and then our chairman, he got a bit cheeky. And he said to the council, because, you know, they've got all these fees, and it's about $2 million worth of fees just to actually put the thing through. And so they went to the council, and our chairman said, look, really, we're doing this, it's going to be such a benefit for the community, it's going to be a hub for the community, it's going to be so good, do we really need to pay all these fees? And the council members looked at each other and said, Yeah. Why do they pay those fees? You know what? Don't have to pay any fees. Praise God. $2 million. Amen? Now that's not fair. But favour ain't fair, baby. And I'm here to let you know that every single one of you have a slipstream of favour in your life. There's an area of favour you can believe for. There's things that you can go for that other people have been knocked back for. But if the hand of the Lord is with you, you can believe for the favour of God. Amen? The fourth thing that you can believe for is this. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil. While the translation says you would keep me from harm. So he's asking for God's blessing. He's asking for increase. He's asking for favor. But he's also asking for protection. Why would he need protection? Have you ever been blessed? When the blessing of the Lord is on you, Jesus promises there'll be increased persecutions. There'll be increased difficulties. Have you ever had good things happen in your life and realised a whole bunch of people weren't happy about it? Have you realised the more that your life has advanced, the more enemies that you actually have? The Bible says that the enemies will rise against us, but every tongue that rises against you, he shall condemn. Amen? So what you can actually believe for is protection. You can actually believe for the protection of God. I mentioned to you before out of Ephesians, and it talks about the armour of God. It talks about the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. I've heard people preach about it, and they've said, see, the armour that you wear, it's all for your front. So what that means is you're never supposed to back away or turn your back on the enemy, because you're always supposed to move forward. One of the things I've learned is this, even when you're moving forward, the devil still wants to stick a T in the back. So why don't you have armour for your back? Because God's got your back. And he's actually going to take care of it, amen? Yeah. You can tell you're under a spiritual attack when it comes from every side. When it comes from every angle, and it looks like it's orchestrated, but it's not, I'm telling you, that's a spiritual attack. But even if you're surrounded by enemies, the Lord will still protect you.
Yes.
Back in 2018, my wife and I, we took over this church called King's Church. And it was going through a very, very difficult time. I remember when I first became the senior pastor, the search committee said, oh, congratulations, Pastor Ben, you're the senior pastor. Now, just a couple of things you need to know. We've got three lawsuits here that we just have to sort out. Also, too, there's the $600,000 missing. We don't know where it's gone. I found out as well that there were two church splits in operation at the exact same time. There was two locations. There was a church split at each one. I knew something was up because when I went to the Gold Coast, all the local pastors, who I thought might be funny with me, would come up to me and say, hey, Ben, we're really praying for you, mate. We're really glad you're over there, Ben. Congratulations for that sort of thing. No, they're all way too friendly. And then when I got in there, I realised, oh, my goodness, this place is absolutely crazy. And, you know, I remember when we first took on the church, there was this church split happening, and I you'd see people, they didn't really want to talk to us. We'd go out in the foyer, and you'd see people talking behind their hands, and then you'd walk up to them and they'd stop talking, because they were organising to try and get people from the church to other churches that they were going to start. I had one guy come up to me and goes, it's all right, Pastor Ben, I'm not leaving. I'm like, what are you talking about? What is going on? I had another guy, he sent me a card from another church. He used to go to our church. And in the card, he actually put an event cinema voucher, which was nice. And he said, Ben, I don't care what everyone is saying about you on social media. And I'm like, what is people saying? There's all these things going on. I remember there was a song I would sing all year. And it was called Fight My Battles. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
This is how I fight my battle.
Yeah.
This is how I fight my battle. Even though I'm surrounded by... I was singing the whole time. It was like, this thing feels like it's a sandcastle. The church was insolvent. Things were going down. People were hemorrhaging. It was just going crazy. And the whole time, I was just saying, Lord, you're going to protect your church.
Yeah.
You have not called me here to oversee its demise. You have called me here, and I know that you're going to protect this. And over the course now, we've been there 6 years now, and God has done great things. The church has quadrupled in size. We've gone from 2 locations to 4. Income has quadrupled. And I just launched last week that we're going to do four new locations in the next 5 years. And if you had seen back then, I give God all the glory. And if you had seen what we were going through back then, I want to testify to you today that God has got your back. Yeah. He's going to protect you. Yeah. What you're going through right now might come at you from every side. I'm here to let you know that you can believe for the protection of God.
Yeah.
And the last thing is this. Says Jacob's calling the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." That I may not cause pain. Does Jacob have anger issues? "Lord, you've got to stop me. I want to smash someone. You better stop me, Lord. I don't want to cause any pain." Does he have anger issues? Well, probably makes a bit more sense when you realize his name of Jabez actually means pain. His mom called him Jabez because she bore him in pain. And she named him Pain. How would you like that? Wasn't his fault. He didn't do anything. But she caught it. Could you imagine his whole life? "You're a pain." Pain, imagine it's called, "You're a pain, pain, pain." Imagine his mum going to kids' church, picking up the kids. "Hi, I'm here to pick up the children. Faith, hope, grace, and pain. Pain, can you come out here? Your mum's out here, Pain. You're a pain." That's all you're ever going to be. That's all who you are. His whole life labeled and prophesied over him. Pain, 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 pain. Until one day he'd had enough. And he interrupts the genealogies even though his name wasn't listed. Doesn't matter if you come from the wrong family. It doesn't matter if you're not known. You can still believe for this to come into your life. And he said, "Excuse me. Bless me. Enlarge my territory. I want your hand to be with me. Keep me from harm." And then the big one. "And I don't care what anyone says. I'm not going to cause pain."
Yeah.
What's been prophesied over you? "We're all drunkards. You're ugly. No one loves you. You're good for nothing. You're dumb. You can't. Our family's always been poor. You're going to be." What's been spoken over you? What has been branded on your life that is not from God? One of my favorite scriptures, where it talks about that God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Well, if you think about it, a fowl's a bird, it's meant to fly. It got snared, got trapped. It wasn't the bird's fault, it was trapped by an enemy. Something someone else did limited its future. It's destined to fly, couldn't fly anymore. But God can deliver you from the snare of the fowler. God can deliver you from everything done to you. God can deliver you from everything said about you. God can deliver you from every limiting factor in your life. What is it that's been spoken over you? What is it that you've been labeled with? There's no harm in asking. "I'm not going to cause pain no matter what anyone says." And God granted what he requested. The fifth thing you can believe for is breakthrough. You can believe for breakthrough. The limitations and labels put upon you by others. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
And I believe, I haven't shared that message for a long time, but I just felt for today at Vineyard Stanford, God wants you to know that there's no harm in asking. You can believe for even more blessing upon your life. You can believe for increase. You can believe and ask for favor. You can believe for protection. And you can believe for grace. Amen? And so what I want to do is this. I want to do what Jabez did. I want us to pray. Doesn't say Jabez came to the pastor. No one called Jabez out. He pushed his way in. And we're going to pray for this to come to pass in your life. But before we do, I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. Maybe it's the first one, blessing, provision, whatever it is. If you're needing that right now, just slip up your hand and say, that's me. I'm needing God's provision. I'm needing that blessing on my life right now. That's you, just slip up your hand. Awesome, you can put your hands down. Secondly, maybe it's increase. You've been believing for increase, whether it be in your business, in your ministry, whatever it is, property, whatever it is. If you believe for increase, just slip up your hand and say, that's me. Awesome, many hands down. You put your hands down. The third thing you can believe for is favor. Maybe you're stepping into something where others have failed. Maybe you're stepping into something where doors have been closed. If you need God's favor, slip your hand up right now and say, that's me. I need the favor of God. You can put your hands in. Maybe it's protection right now. I sense that as I said that, some of you are like, that's me right now. It's all breaking loose all around me. That's you, slip your hand up and say, that's me. But I need God's protection. You can put your hands down. And finally, maybe it's breakthrough. Maybe there's a limiting factor, not your fault, that you need breakthrough from. If that's you, slip up your hand and say, that's me. I need breakthrough today. Awesome. You can put your hands down. You can open your eyes. If you put your hand up for one or more of those things, stand even. Maybe if you put your hands up. Lift your hands then. We know Jabez's prayer was the will of God. So why don't we just pray his prayer right now? Repeat this after me. Oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed.
That you would bless me indeed.
And enlarge my territory.
Enlarge my territory.
That your hand would be with me.
That your hand would be with me.
That you would keep me from evil.
That you would keep me from evil.
That I may not cause pain. I thank you for blessing.
I
thank you for increase.
I thank you for
increase. Thank you for
favor.
I thank you for protection.
I thank you for
breakthrough.
In
Jesus' name.
Jesus'
name. Amen. 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 As Pastor Jeremy said, I'm not as free to go about as much anymore as I used to be. That sort of thing. You know. I felt the Lord wanted me to come to Vineyard. And I believe that the greatest days are about to burst forth in this place. Already what God has done in this place is a miracle. Already what God has done in this place would be enviable for most country team. But it's nothing compared to what God's done. It's all I declare in this season, and I want to declare all these things over the life of this church. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for Vineyard Church here as well. And I declare your blessing, your increase, your favor, your protection, and breakthrough upon this house. I thank you, Lord, that the walls of this place won't be able to contain that which you do in this place, Lord. And I thank you for all that you've done. I honor the past, and I honor everyone who sacrificed for this place. And I honor everyone who's bought into this house. But I thank you, Lord, that's simply the foundation for the building that you're going to build upon this place and the increase that's coming. I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let this be a place, Lord, of transformation. Let this be a place of miracles. Let this be a place of signs and wonders. Let this be a place of revival. I pray for this house, Lord, and I declare your blessing and favor. I pray for Jeremy and Anita and the whole Reading family, and I declare your blessing and favor upon them. I thank you, Lord God, for the faithfulness of the first 10, but I thank you, Lord, for the fruitfulness of the next 10. I thank you, and I praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. What's it?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Could we sing Goodness of God?
Yeah.
I love that song. That's my favorite. We've got to sing Goodness of God. You know what I love about it? Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not coming. God can chase you down with goodness. God can chase you down with blessing. He can give you unexpected good things in your life. Why? Because he's a good God. Let's declare his goodness in his place. Amen.